will call the December 7th, 2020 Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation to order. Are we recording?
Judy, have we started recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Thanks
okay,
for checking.
Very good.
We're recording.
Okay, good. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the agenda as written. Are there any corrections, additions, or anything for the agenda? If not, we'll accept a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Why could I make a motion?
Second, Neil Ligon.
All right. So in the interest of brevity, we will entertain any anybody opposed to approval of the agenda? All right, hearing no opposition, we will approve the agenda. The first item under action items is the ACAT election of officers. We actually should have done this last year, but we didn't have enough members to hold an election. So Wakota, do you want to take that or?
Asia, so Asia in the future will be working directly with ACAT. So, so I'll ask her to be the lead on this item.
Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm. Can everyone hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, I'm just gonna share my screen and show the bylaws. Oh, okay, so it says I can't share my screen. If whoever's screen it is, can you click the election rules?
I am here, James.
Okay, thank you, yeah, Teresa.
Teresa's on.
You're welcome. Sorry, I'd moved this weekend, so my brain's not here yet.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Okay, so I just want to show the ACAT election rules. So the current chairman is resigning, and today we'll be electing a new chairperson by a majority vote. And this chairperson will serve for the next 2 years according to the bylaws. Do we have any nominations for a chairperson?
I would like to nominate Teresa Brenner.
Okay.
I would like to nominate Neil.
Okay. Any other nominations?
This is Neil. I'm going to decline at this point. I can't take on another responsibility in the community. I appreciate being thought of. It means a lot to me, but I just can't take that
You're
on.
You're gonna be a good chair.
Thank you. And Teresa Brenner, do you accept your nomination?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So any other nominations? Okay, hearing none, we're gonna go to a vote. Everyone who wants Teresa Brenner to be the chairperson, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay.
Come on.
Okay, hearing none, Teresa Brenner is now the new chairperson.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And since Brenner was the vice chair, now she's the chair, so we have to do a vice chairman election as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would like to nominate Annika Futch as our vice chair.
Who is Annika?
Annika is the representative from the
Center for Blind and Low Vision.
Well, is she in this meeting right now?
She's not.
I don't think she is.
Yeah, I would nominate Pamela Oglesby. Because, I mean, she's a regular attendee. We got to have somebody who's regular attendee to chair the meetings. So.
I don't have, if Pam will take it, I don't have a problem at all with Pam being our vice chair. Will you do it, Pam?
Yeah. Teresa. Lena?
What?
Make sure you're at every meeting. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I will withdraw my nomination of Annika Futch.
Okay. Any other nominations?
And this would be for 2 years as well?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure not trying to add nothing to my plate.
I hear you, Pam. I'm trying to clear mine.
Hearing no other nominations, we're going to put it to a vote. Everyone in favor of Pamela being the new vice chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And everyone opposed, say nay. Okay, so the new vice chair is Pamela Ogilvie.
Congratulations,
everyone.
Congratulations.
That's a great slate of officers.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great slate.
Thank you, James.
Sure. Thank now, you. The question, do I continue to run this meeting or does Teresa
please.
Take it?
Please. Okay. I do not have my computer up and running. I just moved. I'm in chaos. Thank you.
I'll be happy to.
Yeah, and we would only be chair and vice chair elects right now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. We won't get into that.
Okay.
All right. So action item number two then is approval of the October 19, 2020 Core MPO ACAP meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes?
Pam was reading them a moment ago.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any corrections, addendums to the minutes? If not, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes as written.
So moved.
Second. So Pamela moved, Waikota seconded.
Okay, thank you. All those opposed signify by stating nay. Okay, minutes are approved. And the action item three is the FY 2021 through 2024 TIP adoption.
Okay, Julie, can I share my screen? I need to share my screen.
Whoever the host is can just go to the share screen and then say share with allow multiple participants, and then it'll allow you to share.
Yeah, I have host disabled participant screen sharing.
Right.
Yeah, who's the host?
Julie is doing the hosting.
You should see it now, Waikota.
Okay, let me see. Share my screen. Okay, that's great. So I'll just try to give this presentation, and thanks for Alicia who helped the design, which looks very nice because I have done a very poor job in designing the presentations. I can just present information, but I don't know how to present it. So I'm just going through the Transportation Improvement Program, the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 Transportation Improvement Program is the 4-year program of the highest priority projects to be programmed in this TIP from the 2025 plan. So it includes, this TIP includes multimodal projects, that's highway, transit, bicycle, pedestrian, and trails. And then it's cooperative developed by the MPO, GDOT, CAT, MPO members, the advisory committees. So it's a coordinated process, cooperatively developed. And the process, ACAT has been involved from the very beginning since we started the call for projects for Z230 funds, for Z30 funds, for highway infrastructure program funds in January. And then because of COVID-19, we were not able to evaluate all the projects and rank them, but we finally did part of that. We did a HIP project evaluation probably back in June. And then in August, we did all the others. And I did share with you the results of the project rankings. And then in September and October, TCC actually met twice to allocate the HIP 033s and funds based on actual revenues to projects. And then we had the preliminary draft for FHWFT and GDOT review. We received a lot of comments, and the comments and responses included Appendix D of the attached document. So if you click on your link to the agenda, you will see the revised draft. Appendix D includes the comments and responses. And then we started the public review and a comment period on the revised draft. Last Thursday was the last day, but people can still submit their written comments to me until the Wednesday, until the close of business of Wednesday this week. But so far, I haven't received any significant written comments yet. And then in December, the TIP will go through all the committees for endorsement and adoption. So we have been talking about the performance-based planning and the programming. So the TIP as a whole will contribute to achieving the performance targets. So the performance targets, we have been adopting the GDOT performance targets, and then the transit, mostly the performance targets come from Chatham Transit and the GDOT intermodal. So I will show you what the targets are. So we for the highway safety targets, we adopted in October, actually. So includes number of fatalities, number of serious injuries, fatality rate, serious injury rate, and total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. And on the left, and you can see all these numbers. So these are the performance targets. So we will try to keep all these performance measures within the targets set on the left. And then for the bridge conditions and pavement, and so we want to make sure that we have a certain percentage of interstate pavements in good condition. So the larger the percentage, the better. And we also have the percentage of interstate pavements in poor condition, the smaller, the better. You can say on the right side, 5% would be preferable. And then we also have like a percent of a non-interstate national highway system pavement in good condition and in poor condition, and national highway system bridge in good condition and in poor condition. So for the for those performance measures, the targets would be the higher, the better for the facilities to be in good condition, and the targets would be lower, the better for the facilities in poor condition. And system performance, freight movement, and congestion management, we want to make sure that the percent of person miles on the interstate system are very reliable. So we set the targets, the 2-year target is 73% and 4-year target is 67%. But if we can achieve better than that, say 75%, we will meet the targets. And the percent of person miles on the non-interstate national highway system that are reliable. So we have a target of 81%. So if we can achieve 82%, that would be better. And then the truck travel time reliability index. So the higher, the better. And then for the transit, because Chatham Area Transit is the major transit provider in the Savannah urbanized area. And then Coastal Regional Commission actually provides the linking trips in the rural area. But that means they are outside of the Savannah urbanized area boundary. So we actually have two transit service providers in our region. So the CAT was the urban one, and CAT develops their own transit asset management, and the CRC actually joined the GDOT intermodal to develop the joint transit asset management. So what we adopted for the MPO is a combination of these two agencies. So we set the targets for the rolling stock that includes the buses, minivans, ferry boats, and equipment. We have automobiles and facilities. We have like passengers and the parking. You can see on the right side, these are the state of good repair targets. So of course, these targets, if we can achieve better than these targets, that would be better. For example, the ferry boat we said 100% stayed in a state of good repair. So if the ferry breaks down in the Savannah River, that would be big trouble. But the buses, we have like 85% target. So our TIP projects will contribute to achieving the targets that we just mentioned. So we have Project Durain, and what you can see is you can see this XXX. So one project addresses multiple performance measures. So you can see which one, which performance measure. For example, the top three, Project Durain, they will definitely improve safety and they will improve relieve congestion and then properly facilitate the freight movement because Project Durain is also a freight corridor. And the US 17 bridges, these two, one in Middle River, one on Savannah River, they will definitely contribute to the safety and the bridge improvements. And since a freight, since it's out just outside the GPA, so it has been used as a freight truck corridor, so it will improve freight movement as well. For example, the Effingham Parkway, it will relieve congestion on State Route 21. And the US 17 will probably improve safety as well. And Brampton Road Connector, it's designed as a freight intermodal facility. So it will definitely facilitate freight movement and then relieve some of the congestion in the port area. And I-16 widening, I-16 at I-95 interchange reconstruction. Everybody knows that it's a dangerous intersection, interchange. So by having a new design, we will just get rid of all these very dangerous configurations right now and then improve safety. So definitely safety is the most important thing. And then by increasing capacity on I-16, we probably increase the pavement and the freight movement, relieve some of the congestion on I-16. And Ogeechee Road widening, it will achieve safety targets as well, because it also will include some bike lanes and sidewalks, so that will help the non-motorized people as well to improve their safety as well.
Wakoda.
Yeah.
When you say Ogeechee Road widening.
Ogeechee Road widening from I-516 to Victory Drive.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Yes. Yeah, you want the limits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As you can see, because if you go from I-516 all the way to, 17, and then you go probably to Bryan County, that's two lane, right? But between that I-516 to Victory Drive is one lane on each side right now.
Right.
It doesn't have a median, because I travel over there, especially when it's dark. You have the head lights from the car on the in the opposite direction. I cannot see well at night, so that's kind of dangerous to me.
Yeah, I just wanted the limitations.
Okay. Yeah, so definitely it will be two lane on each side with a median, so that will definitely reduce the head-on collision.
Correct.
So that will provide some safety relief. And the US 80 bridges, so we have three projects. One is the bridge replacement at Bull River. Another one is bridge replacement at Los Rato Creek. And then the roadway in between will be improved. So that would definitely increase the safety in that area and then relieve some congestion, the seasonal congestion. And then also because of the bike path accommodation, so that it will increase the non-motorized safety as well. And of course, when you replace obsolete, the design or structurally obsolete bridges, so you will increase the pavement and a bridge performance as well. And then for the I-16 interchange at the Little Neck Road, that will definitely increase the freight, facilitate freight movement and relieve some of the congestion over there and improve safety. And City of Savannah has the Traffic Control Center. So Traffic Control Center, you will see a lot of signal coordination, probably push button, pedestrian crossing signals. So that will help to improve the safety and overall the traffic will run better. So you will see less congestion and facilitate freight movement, and then probably benefit the transit, the buses as well, because of the signal coordination. And then it will probably emit less particles, so you will probably improve the air quality as well. And Old River Road widening, it's located, so one big chunk of land in Effingham County is going to be developed with the probably the target as like warehouse area. So it will definitely will be a freight concentrated area. So providing the connection to that facility, which is the Old River Road widening. Currently it's like one lane on each side. So it probably will be widened to two lanes on each side.
Is that in Chatham County only, Wakota?
No, it will connect to Effingham County. But the thing is, since Effingham County, a lot of Effingham County is not located in the Savannah urbanized area.
Right.
So we can only spend money in those areas within the Savannah urbanized area, within the MPO boundary. So Effingham County is not in the MPO boundary. So they have to pick up the other side, they pick up the cost on the other side.
Do you think that's going to change with the new census? And if so, how long will that take?
We have to see what after each census, we will see the urbanized area, and then we would revise the MPO boundary. So the MPO boundary is supposed to take in the existing urbanized area and the area to project to be urbanized within the next 20 years. I see along State Route 21, we might expand. So probably ranking, that's what I'm thinking. But this Old River Road widening, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Does anyone know approximately or have any idea as to when we will get some kind of results from the census?
After they release the census data, I think we probably, I think I'm just based on the experience, I think probably we have like 2 years, even though the Savannah urbanized area, and we can do some kind of analysis.
Right.
So we can pretty much, after census data comes out, we probably will have several months to figure it out what we're looking at. But right now, I don't know when the census will release the data.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the highway projects. And then the I-95 at Florida, I-95 ITS project from Florida state line to South Carolina state line. So ITS project, that would definitely help all to achieve all of these performance targets in terms of safety, congestion, freight, and air quality. And then State Route 21 at State Route 30, that is the lump sum project. So there will be some kind of improvements, safety improvements. And State Route 21, State Route 30 from I-95 to State Route 30 is a lump sum project. And I-16 at Chatham Parkway, that's intersection improvements, is a lump sum project. So all these lump sum projects will probably provide safety improvement, congestion relief, and freight facilitation, and then improve air quality. And then we also have, because we did allocate some Z230 funds to Chatham Air Transit to purchase another electric bus. So electric bus, and then CAT also programmed Section 5307, Section 5337, Section 5339, 5310, 5311, and the bus replacement program. So every time we have investments on the transit, that will definitely improve transit safety, and then probably help us to maintain the transit asset management targets, or better, or achieve those targets. Because if you replace bus through, replace old ones with the new ones, so your buses probably will not break down as frequently. So that will help us to achieve the transit performance targets. And then we also have three trail projects, the Truman Linear Park Trail, Phase 2B, and Chavis Road Improvement Project, and Girard Avenue Improvement Project. So by accommodating the bicycle and pedestrian or bike lanes or pedestrian sidewalks, that would definitely help the non-motorized safety improvement achieving those targets. So those fatalities for non-motorized, hopefully that will be reduced. And then also people not using the motorcycles or cars or like motorized vehicles. So you have less emissions. So it definitely will improve the air quality. So these are the projects that included in the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP. And then you can see the statistics. So about 90% of the total investment would be for the highway projects and about 10% for transit projects. The total investment is about $572 million. The highway percent is a little bit, I didn't split it from the standalone. For example, the Chumalini Park Trail project, it is a standalone trail project. I didn't split it because its funding is coming from the highway portion. So that's why it's included in the highway portion. Also, I talked about that we allocated some Z230 funds to help CAT to purchase another electric bus. So supposedly that should be included in the transit percentage. But since the funds haven't been flexed from Federal Highway Administration to Federal Transit Administration yet, so right now it's included in FHWA portion. So that's why it's included in the highway percentage. And also some of the projects that we just mentioned, for example, the Okeechobee Road widening project that Pam was asking, that one includes the bicycle and pedestrian improvements. We didn't separate out because it will be part of the design. It will be the part of the concept. So, and most of the funding will come from the highway portion. So this is investments is just based on whatever the funding sources are. So it's really not by the project type. So as you can see, the highway percentage is like 90%, transit percentage is 10%. And then, as I mentioned, many projects are addressing multiple performance measures. So when you have projects that addressing safety measures, you lump them together, you can see about 85% of projects are contributing to achieving safety targets. 82% of the projects are contributing to achieving congestion targets, and 74% are helping freight, and 68% of projects are helping pavement and bridges. About 24% of projects are helping to achieve air quality performance targets, and more than 10% of the projects are helping achieving transit safety and the transit asset management. So this is a summary. So the proposed TIP includes high percentage projects address safety, freight, and congestion, and each project addresses several performance measures. And all these projects together will help to achieve the performance targets and then contribute to the economic development as this in the Savannah region as a whole. These are the comments that we just received last Thursday from GDOT, not very major. So they will, in terms of the numbers, probably won't make too much change to the figure that I just showed you over here. So these are to be incorporated. And for ACAT today, we're asking this committee to endorse the draft TIP to the Corn Fuel Board for adoption and subject to the program changes that we just listed over here. So not significant.
Is there a motion to endorse?
I make the motion to endorse, Teresa Brenner.
Is there a second?
Second, Pam Oglesby. Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you.
All right, it is endorsed. So moving on to status reports, the 2021 federal certification review coming up in January.
Yeah, I don't know whether, is Mark back? Okay, seems
no, like. No, he said he had an appointment at 1 o'clock.
Okay. So I can talk about this. Certification review then.
Okay.
So we are the TMA, MPO, because the normally, if the urbanized areas has a population of more than 50,000, you're supposed to have MPO. But if your urbanized area has more than 200,000 people and then you are like bigger MPO, Beaker MPO is the called TMA, Transportation Management Area. So TMA, MPO, we're TMA since 2000 census actually. So for the TMA, we have to go over the federal certification review process every 4 years. So our last one was conducted in 2017. So this time we're going to have it and to make sure that the MPO process, the core MPO planning process, is consistent with the federal rules and regulations. And then all the people who are supposed to be involved are really involved in the MPO's transportation planning process. So those involved are the MPO board, the GDOT, and all the modal representatives. You can see the CAD, airport, and then all the local municipalities, Savannah, Chatham County, Pooler, Garden City, all that, and other governmental agencies and interest groups like LIFE over here, and then federal partners, FTA, FHWA, and the general public. So it's like every time we have any planning products, and we have to make sure that we get the public involved and that they have accessibility to our planning products, and then they can provide their comments to us. So we just want to make sure that our planning process is inclusive, is comprehensive, and is cooperatively developed. So why is the MPO planning process important? Because it is the framework to make transportation decisions for our area. And then it is a framework for collaboration. So you don't have GDOT just to come to our area. They probably are very familiar with Atlanta area, but they might not be familiar with the Savannah area. So they cannot direct us to do this or direct us to do that. So since we have the MPO process, we have a local input. We have a lot of collaboration and cooperation from the local agencies. So we coordinate with each other for our planning process. So that's why we have this collaboration framework. And then the MPO, we actually decides the MPO board, especially, I mean, ACAD is advisory committee to the MPO board, but since we just talked about the TIP, so you know, we're making investments and that includes the federal transportation dollars and then the state transportation dollars, especially for the federal transportation dollars. So we determine like how much of that will be spent in our area and how those funds will be allocated. Because we know what the regional priorities, so we don't have it from GDOT. And also provides the framework for the future transportation systems because, well, for example, we have the 2045 plan. And so we do the projection based on our land use, based on our socioeconomic information, both based on economic development, employers, the locations, and the freight warehouses. So we know what will happen. So eventually we will allocate the federal dollars to the system.
Do we know if they're going to come here or if it's going to be virtual yet?
They will be virtual.
Okay.
So Mark actually just sent in a questionnaire. They sent us a questionnaire about 302 questions. So we have been working on addressing that questionnaire, filling as much information as possible. And today is the deadline for submitting that. So Mark has already submitted the questionnaire to FHWA, and then he actually sent me an email. So I have to send them additional information, including the MPC handbook and then the MOU bylaws and those. And so right now they are conducting the desk audit because we provided all the links for the 2045 plan, for the TIP, for the Title VI plan, for the participation plan, and for the UPWP, for the congestion management process, for freight plan. So they're going to review all of that. So they're doing the desk audit. And in January, they will have a site visit. So it will be virtual, probably through Zoom. And there will be a public meeting on January the 19th. I'm going to send out the public notice this week. So it will be a Zoom meeting. So all this, all of the committee members and the general public are welcome to participate through this Zoom meeting. So just to comment on our transportation planning process. And the closeout will be on the 20th or the 21st of January. And then they will send us the final report, letting us know what are your strengths, what we see as shortcomings. And so we gave you the recommendations and what are the corrective actions. We actually don't want corrective actions because we want to make sure that we are actually federal rule compliant. So if we don't pass the federal certification review, that means all of the transportation dollars will be held up in our area. So that means highway funds and transit funds cannot come to our area. So we want to make sure that we are certified.
Yeah,
so we will have the final report back to all the committees. Well, from now on until the federal certification review is over in April, you will be updated on each step. So in February, you will know how the site visit went. And then in April, you will know what recommendations, strengths, corrective actions, or the final report. You will see the final report.
Okay. All right. We're running out of time. So let's go ahead to the Title IV plan update progress. Title VI. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's me. I'll be presenting that.
Okay, which one? Do you want me to? Yeah.
I can actually share it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Not yet. I'm still seeing my screen.
Mm-hmm.
Do I stop share? Okay, let me stop share.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's good. Okay, so I just wanted to give everyone a short little update on what's been going on with the participation plan and Title VI plan updates. So far, we've made good progress. The first draft was done at the end of October and was sent to the federal and state government for comments. And we are just now starting to receive comments back from federal and state actors. And so now we are just kind of presenting the update to all of the advisory boards and committees and court and appeal boards. And we are trying to get everyone's comments and begin revising the draft. So we're still on track to adopt a plan in February of 2021. And the next biggest event that we have with this participation plan and Title VI plan update is the 45-day public comment and review period. And that begins in January. So we're on track, we're making good progress and it should be adopted on time. As stated in earlier meetings, we really wanted to update public outreach methods, especially during the pandemic. And so we really wanted to focus on online and distanced outreach. So on the slide is just a snippet of the tools and techniques that we developed for this updated participation plan. But if you want to see the full document, it is actually attached to the agenda. So something that we found out while looking at the measures of effectiveness was that for 3 out of 4 of the committees, attendance actually increased this year. So the only committee where attendance didn't increase was the CAC, but for every other committee, including ACAT, attendance did increase. And as you can see, it's consistently increased for ACAT. So we felt that this was an important—
Thank you, study. Everybody, for attending our meetings.
Yes, we thought this was an important discovery, as you know, it's helpful in formulating online public outreach methods to see, you know, what works, what doesn't work. And lastly, the survey is live. So we stated in the last meeting that we wanted to do a demographic survey, not only because it's necessary for the Title VI plan update, but also because we want to make sure that all groups of people are represented and that there's no underrepresentation within the core NPO. So it would be really great if everyone could take this survey. I already put it in the chat, in the chat log, but if you need me to email you the survey, or if you need any accommodations, say a printed survey, then I could definitely arrange that. I can also put my contact info in the chat. So if anyone has any questions or concerns, they can contact me and we can get it figured out. But definitely take the survey. I've already gotten a couple of surveys done and I looked at it. It takes an average of 35 seconds to complete. So it's super, super quick, super, super easy. So it'll be really helpful if you could take it.
Aisha.
Yes.
I'm trying to see this. I see it says surveymonkey.com. What is that after that before I get to Core MPO?
It's /r/.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'll take it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Aisha.
Mm-hmm. James, I see Tyrone is on.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I saw him pop up.
Yeah, Cody, there's a Cody Jones as well.
Yeah, I think Cody's with Life.
Oh, Cody's with Life, okay.
I think so, yeah. Okay, again, we're running out of time, so I'm gonna move on to agency reports. Bridget, are you on?
Yes, I am, Mr. Averson. How are you?
I'm great. Could you give us a little update on
Sure. Sure. I know our last meeting, I'm not sure if anyone, the group was aware, but we do have a new COO, Lenny Cooksey, who is over our operations department. So he is definitely making some changes. He has already made some changes as far as within the organization, separating out our paratransit and our fixed route, because we were kind of combined. So now paratransit will get the focused attention that it needs. And in doing so, one of the changes he made was to promote me as the paratransit director. So there's a paratransit director. I will be replacing myself with an ADA manager, which that will still be the same ADA ops manager, so to speak. And then he'll also have a senior operations manager. So he's doing some realigning in paratransit to make it a little more laser focused so that paratransit can get the dedication that it needs through management. So that's one of the things I wanted to address. I'm sure you all are aware that we have started charging fares again, and that is on both fixed and paratransit. So that has based on some of the feedback that we've gotten from our riders who were riding it throughout the pandemic, is that they're happy to be paying, because now you have obviously riders who are really going somewhere and not just riding on the buses. So yeah, that actually is doing a big help. People will rather pay to go where they're going instead of having all of this extra, these extra riders who really aren't going anywhere.
They were just riding?
Just riding. And of course, during the pandemic, we didn't really do a whole lot because we weren't charging anybody, but now it's a little more organized now, and we can actually practice social distancing like we really wanted to with riders who are paying to ride the service. So
that's amazing. That's just right. Amazing.
Right. So one of the other things real quickly that we are working on, and it'll be, I'll get you guys a little more information in our next meeting, is a grocery store initiative that we are working on with our paratransit clients, where they can place their order. I'm not sure if any of you all took advantage of Kroger. I know I used them during the onset of the pandemic, where I ordered my grocery and then I would just go outside and pick it up. So we're trying to do that same initiative with our paratransit clients. They would place their orders online. They would call in with their confirmation number, and then our paratransit operators would just go and pick up their grocery order based on their confirmation information and then deliver it to their homes. And the thought process behind this was that a lot of our customers obviously have underlying conditions where grocery shopping, if we can eliminate them from having to go out, it's kind of twofold, you know, to keep them home, but still deliver their grocery, but also to lessen our, tighten up our schedule a little more, because that is a lot of our traffic. And going to the grocery store is one of those things that you don't know what time you're going to be done. So we're doing a lot of back and forth with our passengers because they're not ready. Then we have to find them another ride in some instances. So we got some really good feedback from customers who are interested in the service. So you all will hear a little more about that in the next upcoming weeks once we fine tune everything. But
that, yeah, that could be a considerable cost saving measure too.
Absolutely.
If you run it right.
Right.
And you're eliminating trips.
Yeah, right.
You can combine trips.
Exactly.
And, you know, devote one run to delivering groceries and free up everybody else.
Absolutely. And that was our thought process.
That's a fantastic idea.
Awesome. Awesome. So kudos. You all will hear a lot more about that in the upcoming weeks. We're just trying to fine tune it because, as you mentioned, if it's run correctly, and Dallas is currently doing it and they've been successful during the pandemic. So we want to make sure that we are running it correctly so we can get the best use out of that service. But other Great. Than that, that is all that I have from Chatham Area Transit.
Great. Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
And congratulations, Bridget.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank
Does anybody you, from anybody from Life want to give a quick update?
This is Neil. I can just real quickly, just a reminder. We have COVID-19 support services available. Person needs to become a consumer with Life. Which is pretty easy to do. Just have to say you have a significant disability, live in our 20 county region. And the idea there is we're trying to provide bridge services to help people get through this. We're pretty broad with our definition there, but there has to be a COVID link of some sort. But that COVID link could be that their family system that was helping support them has other obligations, whether that's childcare, whether it's something else because of the schools, things of this nature. Whatever it is, loss of job, we're able to slide in there and help support through any number of different services, paying for some bills that have kind of fallen through the cracks, helping with transportation, helping with other sorts of expenses. So that's just something to consider if you know of anybody who is running into some hard times around COVID. Please send them our way. And our number is 912-920-2414. And one of my coworkers will work with them to try to identify how we can support them best. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Neil. Anybody else? We're out of time, but if anybody wants to throw something in there,
James, not,
go ahead.
Mention under the non-agenda informational items, you will see all the other reports from the other agencies, Chatham County City of Savannah, GDOT, and then Chatham Transit. So if you want to know more details on those projects, you can just click on the link. You will see the project information.
Great. Thanks. And our next meeting will be Monday, February 22nd. And as far as we know, it will be Zoom as well.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to say before we go, I've got on my shirt. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas,
Pam. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Miss Oglesby.
Merry right. Christmas.
Merry now, Christmas.
James, is Everyone. This your last one with us?
I'll still be a member, but it's last time chair.
Okay, well, thank you for all your great work. This group has really been terrific.
Yes, kudos to
Would this be the same information for the February one, or would it be a different link and everything?
It'll be a different link.
It's a different link, yes.
Oh, we'll get it out to you.
But thank you again, James.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Merry Christmas, people.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay, we'll adjourn.